Hello and welcome to Blue Royalty, a Londoners Blue podcast dedicated to the Chelsea women's team. I'm your host, Jessica Humphreys, joined today by Harry Edwards to discuss a dominant quarterfinal win from Chelsea over Ajax in the first leg. I am coming from my hotel room, so if it's a bit noisy, I apologise. I am also a little bit worse for wear, I can't lie, after a great night, a great away day. Great stickers, great pints, great to see everyone. Harry, how did the game come across from not sunny England?
Yeah, good. I think you could see and hear from here, like from the broadcast, how packed the stadium was. It was a good atmosphere. I think sometimes there's a worry that doesn't come across depending on like where microphones are placed, but it seemed like a really good game to be at, and kind of wish I was there.
Yeah, it was a really fun atmosphere. It was the biggest attendance for a women's match in the Netherlands ever, so more than 35K. Obviously, I think in lots of those games, you always get the sense that obviously lots of the fans who are there, like the Ajax fans, aren't necessarily like diehard women's fans, but it was still great noise. And yeah, the Dutch Chelsea supporters group showed up and they were amazing. They were bringing all the chants in the pub beforehand. They were really noisy in the away end. So yeah, it was definitely like the best away support I've seen us have at a game. And I think it's really exciting to sort of see that grow year on year, and also just the best quarterfinal I think we've ever played. So 3-0 win. Goals from Lauren James in the 19th minute, Shukunuskin in the 44th, and in the 83rd. So very, very comprehensively to take Stamford Bridge. Chelsea lined up exactly as we did against Arsenal. So I will go through for the team, but yeah, it's exactly as it was. So Hampton in goal, Buchanan, Carter, Perisain, Charles as a back four, Leupolz, Cuthbert, and then kind of Shukunuskin and Lauren James sort of as a kind of rotating fun midfield with Wrighton on the left, Canard on the right. Harry, take us away on your stats on this.
Yeah, well, I had to double check to make sure my eyes weren't deceiving me when I first saw the lineup. But yeah, the first time for the season that we've been unchanged. This is the 28th game, 27 different starting 11s as well, and 119 changes, which sometimes it's just one change per game. Sometimes it's been, I don't think we've had 11. I think the most has been 10. I was surprised and not surprised seeing it. Surprised because it's Emma Hayes. We don't make changes. No, we do make changes. But also unsurprised because the team did well against Arsenal, and we haven't really got the players to not name the same 11. So I think if there was any game to go unchanged, it would have been this one.
Yeah, I think, as you say, the performance against Arsenal was so good. And you're right, there aren't a lot of players there. I mean, I guess the only thing you could look at is potentially someone like Lawrence coming in. But they justified being selected like that again. Myra still unavailable, potentially back for West Ham. That's something to note. And there was no Sheridan Spitz for Ajax, which I think was a big loss for them. They're a very young team anyway, to lose out on her as a really experienced head was obviously tough. And in the end, 13 shots from Chelsea to their 9, 6 on target for us, 2 for them. It was a pretty dominant performance, I think, all in. We will take a little ad break here, I think, and then we'll get straight into the game itself. So despite the fact that it ended up a dominant performance, Harry, this was actually quite a strong start, I think, from Ajax. And got to give a shout out to Lily Johannes, 16 years old, in that Ajax midfield, because she was helping win back the ball and setting Ajax's front three away in transition a lot. She lurked to hit the post in the sort of opening kind of 5 minutes. And I think it was clear in those early moments why teams who'd come to this ground, Bayern, Roma, had struggled with the transition opportunities that Ajax are able to create.
Yeah, I think some people were probably looking at Ajax as, you know, not going to be a challenge for Chelsea. But I think the large majority were, you know, cautious, wary of what Ajax can do, because like you said, they've done it in the group stage. They've beaten big teams. Or they've made it tough to play against. And these first 10, 15 minutes, they really showed why they're in the quarterfinals of the Champions League. Like, they picked out our vulnerabilities. They highlighted Hannah Hampton, who's obviously in the team for her kicking. They really put pressure on her, and it's probably the worst game kicking-wise that she's had. They put her under a lot of pressure. She seems to be a player that needs time on the ball before making her pass. There were quite a few occasions where she had to rush it and just gave the ball back to them. That was quite high on her game plan. Ajax's game plan, they not disruptive in midfield, but they were firm in their tackles, looking to try and, you know, not let us get in flow. And like you said, Lily Hannes was at the heart of it. And I think we'll get into it a bit more in a bit, but I think we only really took control of the game when she got booked. So she had to pare things back a little bit. Maybe it was playing on her mind that she's now going to miss the second leg because of the booking. You know, being 16-year-old, that's going to affect anyone. But a 16-year-old, you know, surely it's going to get to you. So I think that her stepping back for the rest of the first half really helped us then get control of the midfield.
That's a really interesting point on Johannes and that booking, actually, because I do think it felt like we took a while to warm into the game. And look, we're playing a lot of matches, you know, like we played Arsenal on Friday in one of the biggest WSL games of the season. You're then having to travel, you're at this big ground on Tuesday, and obviously, like, it's a team of professionals, they're used to playing in these big games, but it's still a lot. And you know, again, you mentioned Hampton. This is her second Champions League start ever, and she's been so embedded in this Chelsea team recently. I think it's easy to forget that, you know, these are big moments for the players as well. We saw Ajax as well early on. They focused a lot, understandably, on Lauren James. They did the opposite of Arsenal. Arsenal put zero players on her. Ajax had about four on her. And I think maybe what was really interesting about this game, maybe exciting about this game from a Chelsea perspective, is felt like, Harry, that this was one of the first games we've seen from LJ where she had a lot of players on her. She was not necessarily getting the time on the ball that she wanted, but she didn't get frustrated. She stayed in the game and she carried on doing the work and making the runs. And then we see that pay off with that first goal.
Yeah, I think from the first 10, 15 minutes again, I thought, it's going to be one of those games for Lauren James. She's obviously very nonchalant in the way she plays, which works for her. But when she was being marked so much, it just wasn't working out. I think she needed to up the intensity just a little bit. And like you said, she didn't let the fact that she was being so closely marked get to her. She then used that to be like, okay, I need to take this up to another level. And then that was when things really started to click. And I think it was part of the way we played early on as well. I think it was only like the first 5-10 minutes where we didn't make use of the width of the pitch, which I think is what hampered Lauren James a bit as well. Once she started going out wide more, looking to be a winger with Niskanen going through the middle, that was when, you know, she thrived. And on the other side, Ruth and Comrie as well.
Yeah, definitely. I definitely think there was an opportunity to try and find the extra space that came from the focus. And then I feel like that first goal as well showed how much intensity we could find ourselves. You know, we're trying to win the ball back and putting that pressure on and pushing up as a result. And I think, you know, maybe we'll talk about it in a bit, but you can see from where Khadisha Buchanan ends up at points that we obviously felt like there were opportunities to push forward and push Ajax back. I feel like the first goal is one where it was so weird because I don't know about you, I just totally assumed it was offside. So I didn't even like celebrate or anything like that. LJ does really well, I think, to just like play along and then see. And then we kind of had the opposite with the disallowed goal, which is sad because we lost out on a good roar. But I think what was interesting after the disallowed goal is because even though we'd got the first one, it didn't feel like we were still kind of bumbling along. The disallowed goal seemed to flick a bit of a switch, Harry, where it was almost like we showed we could find and up an intensity, which I also thought was kind of ominous from an Ajax perspective, that it felt like you could see as soon as we turned it on, as soon as we were ready to go and we wanted to score, it felt like we just could.
Yeah, I think after the first goal, we got a little bit of confidence, but Ajax was still playing as if it was 0-0. They were in control of the game. And yeah, with this Lau goal, I think it can be so easy for any team to be frustrated when they have a goal disallowed like that. I mean, I think it was disallowed rightfully, but I obviously see that with the benefit of lots of replays and like commentators' discussions. Whereas when you're on the pitch in that moment, you might feel frustrated because it was subjective. You know, Nusken, she didn't make a move for the ball, but, you know, arguably she was in the way of Issa Cardinale's trying to clear it. Whether she'd have actually managed to clear it without Nusken there, I guess that was for the referee to decide, and she decided she would. But then, yeah, like, you would have probably seen it better from the restart to the goal. But when the on the telly, they were showing the replays, and by the time the replays finished, we had the ball on the edge of their area. Like, yeah, if it was 50, 56 seconds between the goal actually being disallowed and us scoring. And it was, yeah, just the press. It was almost as if Chelsea were buoyed by the fact that they've had the goal disallowed, almost as if it was an injustice. So they, you know, got to put it into our hands to actually get that goal that we feel we deserve. And like you said, obviously Buchanan was in an advanced position here. Again, I couldn't really tell whether that was from where she was from the restart or whether she had gone up from us getting the ball. But yeah, it was just high intensity, really nice play from all involved. And Nusken, you know, who knew she was the number nine we needed?
Yeah, I think there's a couple of things that kind of stand out from that. Firstly, we have to shout out Buchanan doing a Cruyff turn at the Cruyff Arena. And then maybe we can talk a little bit more about her like defensive resurgence in a little bit. But I think, again, what was really nicely done from Chelsea was just not... was making sure they played to the whistle. I think there's potential pen on LJ, obviously, in the build-up to that. But the team just carry on going, recycle the ball. LJ makes sure she doesn't get involved in play from an offside position after our goal was disallowed. And then, yeah, as you say, Nusken there to slide it in. And this is a good opportunity, I think, to talk about her. Both finishes, obviously the third goal is the headed goal. Just proper strikers finishes, like, to be totally honest, poachers finishes. And we saw it in that hat trick that she got earlier on in the season, didn't we? That, like, we know that she can do this. And I think it's been natural that there's been games where she's been in and out all season, but the versatility is just absolutely mind-blowing. To take this game with the Arsenal game and then to look at the Everton game and the City game, it's just, Harry, it's just, I can't almost put into words the fact that there's a player who's doing all of this at such a high level and at such a young age.
Yeah, this is a player that when she signed, we were like, please, Emma, please let this be a number six. We know she can play centre back. Please don't play a centre back. And Emma Hayes said, no, she's not a centre back. She's a midfielder. She's number six. Apparently she's a false nine, number 10 winger, whatever you want. Emma made a joke about playing her in goal next week. Hopefully not, but I don't doubt that she could do well there. We were all excited about her signing, and now we're all excited about it for another reason. Like, the quality she has, and like you said, at such a young age, she's still only just turned 23. You know, you hope that she doesn't get homesick, that she likes West London, she likes Cobham. Because to have a player of that versatility and quality as well, because sometimes when you have versatile players, I think it's almost like a jack of all trades, master of none, where you know, they can perform admirably at various positions, but they're never great at one. But Nuskan, I think there have been times where she's fallen out of favour before, I guess, more natural players in those positions. But now she's showing that she can hit that high level. And like you said, like a couple of games ago, she was playing centre-back. And now she's playing, you know, like 9/10, scoring 2 goals to put us in a very strong position of reaching the semi-final. And it's testament to whoever looked at her and decided, yep, that's who we want. And also for the work that Emma Hayes has done, because normally with signings, we see it takes a while for them to come into the team. You know, they might have a quiet first season. And Nuskan hasn't played all the time, like you said, but I think Hayes is, Emma's choosing the right time to play her, and it's working.
Yeah, it's worth going to look at her numbers on FBref, because obviously this is a great example on when you need to pay attention to a player, what a player's up to, rather than just looking at their data, because her numbers for a centre-back are obviously insane on all the attacking fronts. But obviously that's because in part she's been playing up front. But yeah, it's really interesting also to look at like her coming in and out of the team. So she started a lot at the start of the season. Then basically after that kind of Arsenal game, she sort of fell out of the team again, and then to come back in. I think what's really exciting is it feels like mentality-wise that didn't affect her, that she, when she was asked to do a job, she was ready to do it. And it is going to be interesting to see where she ends up, isn't it? Because as you say, as players come back from injury, where will she play? Do you think we will see her at any point further back in the pitch in that sort of more DM role, because it feels like Lopez and Erin have that kind of nailed down right now.
Yeah, I think that's got to be the long-term view, because as fantastic as she's been, as useful as she's been going forward, we have star quality players. You know, if everyone's fit, we have too many players that she's not at their level, and that's not in a bad way about her. She's just obviously not a natural forward, but you need her in the team. So I think it's, I guess we might have to wait and see as well with what formation, what tactics a new manager plays. You know, I think she would do well in a midfield three, like a more orthodox midfield three, whether that's as the number six, allowing Melly and Erin to be a bit more, or whether it's alongside Melly with Erin being pushing up a bit more. I think we've seen that, unless I'm misremembering, it doesn't really work with Melly as the holding and Erin and Nuskan both pushing up. I think there's been one or two games this season where they just almost get in each other's way, and it just doesn't work. It leaves us too open at the back. So I think this season's all about, I hope that about finding the right role for her. And I hope whoever the club bring in or whoever's interested in the job is watching Chelsea this season, watching Nuskan this season, to work out, right, where do I want her to play?
Yeah, I think the best thing is any incoming manager is going to say, well, they can kind of decide, you know, and that's like amazing to have a player who you're basically like, I could turn them into anything, you know. Like this tweet from Sam, CFC Central 3, Nuskan and Bellingham, so many similarities, midfielder by trade, poacher by choice. And I do think that really sums it up, you know, it's that like confidence and belief of getting into the box and taking shots and taking finishes. Something, yeah, I do think you can kind of see the Bellingham element of that. Let's take another ad break here then, and we come back, we should have a little bit of a chat about Khadisha Buchanan. So I think Buchanan has to get a lot of credit, Harry, for the two performances she's put in. I said, I think after the Arsenal game, that my feeling is maybe that this is a player who needs to have games, you know, back to back to back to play at the highest level, and maybe going away and playing for Canada at the Gold Cup's allowed to have that. I do think when Natalie Bjorn's fit, maybe she'll lose her place, but we'll see, because obviously there's a potential to play her and Natalie Bjorn together if she's going to play sort of at the highest level. I think what I liked as well is we've seen her sort of playing on the left, which I've always been like, oh, does she have to play on the right? Because Jess, I think, is so much better on the right. What have you made of like her coming back into the team, and where do you think her future is at Chelsea? Because Hayes made reference to this in her post-match, you know, that Buchanan said she wanted to be the best centre-back in the world when she got to Chelsea, and that, you know, everyone sort of knows that she's not fulfilled that she's not done that.
Yeah, like this Buchanan is different to the Buchanan we've seen pretty much all of her Chelsea career. Like, she's just found her old Leon level, or she's getting there. Like, she's much more there than she was before. And like you said, I don't know what happened, but something must have clicked at Canada, at the Gold Cup. She's fat. She's playing with confidence. It's like she knows how good she is. Like, she's playing with that confidence. She knows what she can do, what she can't do. Her reading of the game's back to being where it was. And I think what you said about Carter moving over to the right and Buchanan being on the left is quite important, because not just for Buchanan, but for Chelsea, because when we've had Carter and Charles playing alongside each other, that's been our weak point. Carter likes to push up and attack the ball in midfield. But as I saw yesterday, Buchanan does the same, but Buchanan's better at doing that than Carter is. And so when she does that, we're less exposed on the left. And it's not something that's just been done to accommodate Buchanan. Carter's now been moved over to the right since Natalie Bjorn's come in, which, like you said, poses the question, what happens when Bjorn's back? Because Bjorn's been playing on the left. Buchanan, when she was on the right last season, it wasn't, that was her problem, I think. And a lot of Canadian fans were saying, it's, you know, she's not getting the best out of it because she's playing out of position, but she's not playing in her favoured side. And so Hayes is going to have to make the decision. Does she try Buchanan on the left, on the right? Because you can't drop her on the form she's in. But then Jess Carter's been reliable. Right now, on current format, the two, I'd pick Buchanan, just because we've seen more dominant performances, especially in that pushing into midfield role. I think it was, she won all seven aerial duels yesterday. And that's something that we've not had, that we've missed really since Millie Bright's been injured. I feel like we need that, not just defensively, but to push and win the midfield ball in the air. Yeah, she's been brilliant these last two games, and hopefully that continues. Hopefully she can build on that and, you know, add another Champions League to her collection.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, it's a great time to come into form, and we need her given the defenders we have available. Millie hopefully back after the international break, so that will be another option then. But it feels like generally, I think, from this performance, Harry, and the way that some of the players have come into the team, we're really in the stride. And I don't want to just almost say this because I don't want to jinx things, but like, we have hit that point, it feels like, where stuff starts to click, and the moments in earlier in the season where stuff's a bit shaky, maybe because the team is being rotated a lot. Obviously this year, injuries have played a huge part. To be honest, that I'm kind of feel like I'm falling into the media's own narrative. I think injuries play a huge part in our season every year, but sometimes they get more focused, sometimes they get less focused. But is this the point where it feels like that all starts to pay off, when, because there's been the rotation, because we've tried lots of different things, you get to games like this and you've got a team that, even though it's the first time they're playing games back to back, they're all ready to go and deliver?
Yeah, this is running Chelsea. We saw it last season that I think we had a busy March then, and a busy May as well. People are worried, oh, how are we going to deal with all these games? And March wasn't too great. You know, we lost the League Cup final to Arsenal, lost to Man City, and then lost, in air quotes, to Leon the second leg, but still won. But then May, we won 7 out of 7. Whereas in March this year, it's 5 wins from 5. Still some games to go, but running Chelsea, no matter what's thrown at them, you know, no matter the adversity that they have to deal with, no matter how many games they have to play, they just find a way. You know, we won't win every game, but I don't think we'll win every game this month. But we'll win most of them. You know, it's just, I think we see it on the men's game with Man City. You know, you just know once February, March hits, you're not stopping them. You know, they're inevitable. Chelsea, running Chelsea are inevitable. And yeah, it's just the hope now that this is, you know, just like last season, just like the season before, that this is running Chelsea and that it leads us all the way.
Yeah, definitely. I think the performances in March have been beyond what I could have expected. To be in this, to have won everything we've won from here, I didn't think we'd win all of these games. And the other big benefit, obviously, is that it means we can, okay, obviously don't want to like totally take our eye off the prize, but it makes the game at Stamford Bridge a lot less intense at the very least. Even if we don't necessarily have the squad size right now to rotate loads, you go into it knowing you're three goals up, it changes how you want to approach the game. We should talk a little bit about the second half, because I do feel like getting that third goal was actually really important in bringing that about. And really excitingly, we saw Kat Macaria come on to get her first Champions League minute since that final with Lyon, where she had such an amazing game. It's obviously been such a long journey for her. And we continue to see this, the influence of this player who's just like pure quality. And she comes on and, okay, it's not a goal. She doesn't get her four goals in four games, only slightly asterisked stat, but she does get four goals and assists in four games.
Yeah, she's it's a real luxury to have a player like Macario coming off the bench. And this is a not 100%, you know, fit Macario, one that's just coming back from injury. So I think there are some who might hope to see her start at some point soon, but I think Emma's going to be happy, and I think it's the best thing to bring her on for, you know, the final 15, 20 minutes to add that, to refresh Chelsea's intensity and legs up front when you're at risk, especially in a period like this with so many injuries and not so much rotation, that players are going to tire. So to have the quality of Macario, and we saw last night that, you know, although she plays through the middle, she's more than happy to come out on the wing and still allow Nusken to make that run into the box. And her cross was brilliant. It was like, it was a Guro cross. It was on right onto the head of Nusken, found her in the box in between two defenders. And I think, you know, it's the hope that there'll be games where she doesn't have an impact. You know, Arsenal, she had good legs, but like you said, there wasn't a goal or assist in the right net. There'll be quiet moments, and I think as fans, we'll all appreciate that. We'll all understand that. But at the moment, it's just a great player to have come on from the bench. And I think the same for Ashley Lawrence. I think to have her and Kat come on at the same time and add that strength in depth to our attack again, it's brilliant. And it's what's really helping us through these past two games.
Yeah, I think definitely you can't underestimate the importance of, again, just sort of fresher players, fresher legs, being able to come on. And even though our squad is thin in some places, and, you know, Kat is someone who's obviously minutes we're having to manage, being able to have her, being able to trust someone like Aggie Beaver-Jones to come on as well, who I thought looked really bright, actually, even in just a very short cameo. They're really, really important moments and important players to be able to have to add into the team. Let's sort of wrap this up then. I'll come to you first, Harry, for player of the match.
Well, I think there are some obvious ones. Obviously, we've spoken about Buchanan a lot, but I think Leupold's really helped us take control of the midfield. So I think I'll go for her as more of a rogue shout. I don't think I think people appreciate what she did, but obviously there are more obvious choices. But yeah, once, like I said earlier, Johannes kind of took a step back, it was Melly that really stepped up and was like, okay, this is our midfield now. And she was calm on the ball. She was contributing in defence and attack. And I think that really helped us control the game once we were in the lead.
Yeah, I think that's a really good shout. And we've not really spoken about Loy Potts and Aaron Cuthbert as well. But I think, again, to be fair, both of them just put in a level of performance in almost every game that's such a 7 or 8 out of 10. They almost fade into the background. Maybe that's like to their detriment to a certain extent because they're just both so consistent. But yeah, I think that's a really great shout. And they really led this team. I have to give it to Nusken, I can't lie. I just think to do everything she's been doing is so impressive. And obviously, I think both finishes are, they're simple finishes in some ways, but like someone's got to make those runs and finish off. And I think she did that. I think she did that really, really well. So in terms of what's coming up then, we've obviously got West Ham away on Sunday, the Ajax game at home, and the Arsenal game in the Conti Cup. They're the last March games. You've said already, Harry, that you don't think we win all three of these. Can I push you for where you think we don't? Because I am kind of starting to think maybe we do win them all.
I think it's the Conti Cup. I think we have a cursed relationship with that. Last year, we I think maybe got a bit too overconfident when we beat Arsenal in the first game and then in the FA Cup, then lost the Conti Cup a couple of days later. Obviously, there's a bit more of a break. It's just a bit of pessimism on my part that, you know, we might look at what we did last week and think, oh yeah, we'll smash these and it goes the wrong way. But yeah, West Ham and Ajax, they'll both be tough games for different reasons, but I back us to have to call it. It's just the Conti Cup hates us.
No, that's fair enough. I do think the good thing for the West Ham one as well is that it is potentially a tough away game, but feels like we're so confident right now. Hopefully, we just get that done because of sort of the wave of positivity that's riding on the team. Obviously, after that Conti Cup final, there's an international break. We've then got the FA Cup semi-final against United and then games against Villa and Liverpool, which, touch wood, will now be moved because it looks like our passage to the semi-final of the Champions League is pretty well secured and probably a game against Barcelona to look forward to. But that wraps us up for today then. Harry, thank you very, very much for joining me to go through the game. Really, really big win and great to have you on the show.
Thank you very much. Thank you for having me back on.
We will be back obviously after that West Ham game. But until then, Chelsea fans, you know what to do. Keep the blue flag flying high.